Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Now, normally Nicole, my sidekick, my producer, my friend, and my co-host joins us. But tonight, she has a special event with her wife, Lisa. Lisa's a drummer. She's in a band, and she's just an amazing woman. And she's going to be joining her with her concert tonight. So it's going to be just me on the air and hopefully some of our listeners. Now, Blog Talk Radio forgets to tell us that if you want to talk to me, you have to press 1. So if anyone would like to join in the conversation, if you have a question or something you need guidance on, then you could certainly press 1 and I will pick up. We have a lot of listeners tonight, but we don't seem to have anybody right now who wants to talk. That's not unusual because we usually have, you know, for every 40 listeners, we have one person willing to talk, so it's not unusual. But I thought tonight I would try to give a little bit of a talk on some of the concepts from Grant Me a Higher Love. And anyone who's read that book knows it's a pretty big book. It's 579 pages long. It's a big book, love's a big topic, and there's a lot to talk about. But the part that I was thinking of, you know, kind of running by you tonight is what is love? I mean, a lot of times they'll throw that word around, but they're not actually sure what love is. Is it a feeling? Is it an emotion? Is it actions? I think it's a little bit of all of that. But what was channeled to me when I wrote the book, and a lot of the book was channeled information, was that love is the great spiritual force that propels our souls to evolve ever upwards. I'm going to say that a little bit slow and again, that love is the great spiritual force that propels our souls to evolve ever upwards. Now, if love is supposed to help us evolve and to change and to grow, you'd have a little bit better understanding why there would be all different kinds of levels of love, why there would be soulmate love, which those of you who listen to the show regularly know we define it as a heart, soul, mind, body love, committed to healing, and two people have to be two equals in every way. And that's the top end of the ladder of love. Then there's kind of mediocre love, man to fit a plan, woman to fit a plan. If you're kind of getting old and your eggs are getting old, you might go on Match.com to find the right size, shape, color person. That doesn't mean it's a great love affair. It's kind of like the old arranged marriages. And the younger generation with the whole Tinder and Tinderella thing seems to be playing a very narcissistic rung where people are very interchangeable and you could throw them out, you know, have them for a few days and get rid of them. And then at the bottom end of the ladder of love is toxic love. Now, any love can go down the ladder of love. Soulmate can become toxic. Soulmate can become taking each other for granted, which is what usually happens, because very few people actually maintain soulmate love, about 1% of people. But all of the relationships that we've had teach us something. If we've had a soulmate love that didn't work out or that failed, we usually have some lessons to learn in that. And sometimes those lessons might be that we can't fix people or that we need to fix ourselves. Sometimes it's we need to learn not all love is meant to last forever. But when we stop evolving positively and moving up the ladder of love and being a more positive and good person, it's usually when the universe would hope that we would leave the relationship, move on, and not just stay stagnant. You know, way too many people are staying stagnant in love. And so, you know, it's a thought to throw out there to you, any of you that have relationships. Is your love bringing out the best in you? Is it making you feel like you could be the best person you could ever be? Or are you just settling? Are you fighting a lot? Is it bringing out the worst in you? And, you know, the most frightening thing that I think I deal with almost every day of the week is at least two or three of my clients are pretty much knee-deep in a very toxic relationship, which in Grant Me a Higher Love I refer to as cellmates. Cellmates bring out the worst in each other. They can often end in a courtroom, a jail, a morgue, or an emergency room. It's not a great level of love, and yet it might have started out as soulmate. And so these couples are kind of hard to, you know, for me to guide it sometimes, because until they're ready to leave the relationship, until they sort of see the light that this isn't going to get better, or they learn the lessons that they're supposed to learn. And some of the lessons in a toxic relationship is just don't judge other people who are in a toxic relationship. Even nice people get involved in love that's not good, love that doesn't work, love that doesn't maintain itself. And, you know, sometimes it's very violent even. So, you know, whatever level of love you're in, figure it, is it helping you grow? And if you're not in a relationship right now, then what are the lessons that you're supposed to be learning separately? Sometimes we're supposed to heal our issues. If we want, you know, to get love, and if you don't have a relationship, what I would think that you would need to do is think about what your ideal soulmate would be like, write it down in positive terms. I want him to be strong, I want her to be sober, whatever it is that you want. And then you have to go down that list and make sure you're that kind of a person. So if you want a strong and sober person, you had better make sure you're strong and sober, okay? If you want an honest person, then you have to be honest as well. And then we always have our little soulmate prayer that we say. If you want a soulmate, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you pray to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. So this show is a lot about love. We want to have soulmate love because soulmate love teaches peace, love, and joy to the world. And those of you who know me know that my mission is truly world peace. And soulmates help teach their children and everyone around them peace, love, and joy because they are a beacon of light for everyone to see. Mediocre love, where we don't communicate well, tends to teach people cold war. It's not an outright war, but there's not a lot of communication going on there. So children raised in those kinds of homes are just learning how not to communicate effectively and well. Cellmate relationships, unfortunately, teach outright war because there's so much fighting, there's so much battling, and it's so ugly. So, you know, our goal here is to try to have people either fix the love they have if it's possible, or to manifest a better love and how they can maintain it. So that's really our mission here. So besides love being the great spiritual force that propels our souls to evolve ever upwards, love is a beacon of light that emanates from our hearts and souls and vibrates at the highest frequency level. And people are very attuned if you're vibrating at that high level. You could do a little experiment sometimes, you know, just focus on your heart area, your heart chakra, and, you know, think about love and sending out love and maybe do that for 5 minutes. And then go out in the world, maybe go to a store or anywhere, and see if your vibration is not being felt by those around you. I mean, children always can tell when you're vibrating at a high level of love and frequency. So if you're looking for love, you might want to work on, are you giving out a vibration that's loving? Are you giving out a vibration that you're healed and that you're ready for love? I mean, so many people want love, but they're giving out a vibration that they're not interested or they're taken. And this kind of vibration isn't going to bring you a higher love. So we're going to focus on raising our vibration in us. And how do you raise the vibration that you're giving out? Smile. It's really pretty easy. Smile a lot. Laugh a lot. Look for the positive in people. Compliment them. Make them feel good about themselves. Do the best to make you feel good about you. Treat your body like a holy temple. Treat it well. Do what it needs to be healthy and happy. And, you know, if you don't have love, I would advise you to try to be a lover to yourself. Treat yourself well. You know, buy yourself a little special treat now and then. Treat yourself to a massage or just the things that make you feel happy and healthy. But the object here is all of us could vibrate at a higher frequency of love. And you know instinctively when you're near somebody like that. They're positive, they're effervescent, they're charismatic, they make you feel happy. Nobody wants to be near a person who's down and not happy. And, you know, besides that, love is also the divine energy that unifies heaven and earth. So oftentimes when people ask me, how are you communing to my mom who passed over? How are you communing with the dead? It is strictly on the energy of love. Okay, that's all it is. The more you love a person, the easier it is for me to get a message from them. The more you love, the easier it is for you to get a message to them. So love is an energy force, and it really does have the ability to unify heaven and earth. So those of you who are on a higher path looking for a higher love, you know, work at getting that energy level of you higher. Then you'll be surprised how many messages you can actually get from the other side. Now, love is also, and these are, I'm reading actually from Grant Me a Higher Love, and it's on page 33. And love is the eternal power source that transcends the boundaries that separate heaven and earth. The energy of love allows us to commune with those who have passed on. You don't need to be a psychic to do this. You need to bring the vibrational level of your inner being higher and higher. When you evolve into your higher self, you'll be traveling on the same wavelength, the same plane as ascended souls, and therefore you'll be able to commune with them. So if you really want to talk to your mom who's crossed over, or your friend, or your father, or your lover who's crossed over, the best way to do it is by loving more and opening your heart to that. God is love, and that's for sure. So the more that, you know, you get into spiritual being, feeling your spiritual self and loving God, the more that your frequency will also rise. What Americans tend to forget is that love isn't a commodity, nor is it a business transaction. I mean, I think we just came through Valentine's Day, and a lot of people don't like Valentine's Day. They think of it as being a very commercial holiday, one where you have to buy a big gift, you know, expensive piece of jewelry, or somebody's not going to be happy. But that's not really what Valentine's Day is about. Valentine's Day is about celebrating whatever kind of love you have, whether it's for your children or your dog or your pet or your mother or your soulmate. It's just celebrating love, and it's celebrating an unconditional kind of love, and it really can be a great holiday because it kind of tells us where we go from one year to the next. Now, if you have a soulmate or a relationship that's not very good or sort of gone down the ladder of love to toxic, this year, if you felt the same way last year, you have to start saying, I think I have to fix something or change something or leave something. So Valentine's Day is a pretty good barometer of where you are in your life. If you don't have love in your life this year and you didn't have it last year, then maybe you can use this time to think, well, what things can I do to help manifest love? Can I get out there and make some new friends? Can I sign up for a course somewhere? Can I sign up for a dating site? And, of course, I'm always weary of those and tell you to be very careful of those. But if you go with your eyes open and you can't make some of the stuff up that you'll find on there, you know, it's very possible you could meet someone there. So just think of Valentine's Day as not a day where you buy people things, although it's always nice to get a little gift, but it's not necessarily about just getting a gift. Love is pure grace. It is grace and a gift from God. Soulmate love comes from God and someone who died. So if you're looking for soulmate love this year, you want to make sure that by next Valentine's Day you have a soulmate love, then you might want to ask someone who's crossed over, can you please send me someone to love and a soulmate? Love makes all things possible. Love always comes from God. And love is a miracle. I think anybody who's experienced love knows that it really is a miracle. Now, we do have a lot of listeners, and I'm wondering if anyone has a question about what I'm talking about, or they want to share something about their experience this Valentine's Day, or what love they're looking for, or how they're trying to get their frequency up higher. Anybody who listens to this show regularly, and we do have a lot of regular listeners, including my dear friend Jean, is really raising their vibration, whether they know it or not, because that's what this show is all about. Let's see if we can deal with the world on a higher level. And, you know, the one thing that you know, we oftentimes don't have time to stress on the show because we are very often just answering questions and who's calling in. So we kind of deal with whatever random topics might come our way. This being very close to Valentine's Day and the spring, which is coming, and Easter, and all this is a time of rebirth and resurrection and reinventing ourselves. I thought it was a really good time to start talking a little bit more about love today. Now, there are different kinds of love, by the way. There's conditional love versus unconditional love. Now, most of us have loved very conditionally or been loved very conditionally. And at this stage of human evolution, most people do love very conditionally. Conditional love is more a form of fear, and whereas unconditional love truly is about love. Now, conditional love is contingent upon your behavior or someone else's behaviors. As long as you act in accordance with other people's preconceived notions of what you should do, or they act in the way we expect them to do, everything is usually okay. And, you know, a lot of times when people love us conditionally, it's like, what have you done for me lately? And, you know, it's really hard when we're loved conditionally because we always feel like that's the kind of love that can be taken from us. And, you know, when children are raised by parents who love them conditionally, they always try to do what their parents want and expect of them rather than become the person they're meant to be. So when we have parents, and parenting's a really hard job. I mean, I think of all the things I've had to do in my life, I think parenting was probably the hardest. And if I do have regrets in my life, I think it has to do sometimes that I could have parented better. Maybe at times I did love my daughter very conditionally. And that's something that, you know, I'm always wondering, could I have loved her more unconditionally? And I don't know. Well, I do have someone who would like to share with us tonight, and I do think it's my dear friend Jean, and I'm going to pick you up right now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Jean. So you hear what I'm talking about tonight.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get that frequency of love out there. And I know you're a person who's been from, you know, highs to lows, so I'd love to hear what you have to say.
You have to learn to love yourself first. You have to be comfortable.
Absolutely.
You have to be comfortable within yourself before you can go look for any soulmate, cellmate, partner, anything. If you're not ready, you're not going to find it. You're going to find toxic things, and you and I have talked about that. So until
and they're everywhere.
Until you're done with the relationship you left or they left you, until you've put all your eggs in one basket and it's about me, 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 and make me happy first, you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly, exactly. And it's not always easy to come to that place of self-love because for older souls, it's something that was sort of beaten out of them in past lives. It made us feel like we were selfish or being greedy. And so, you know, for me, I know most of my life I was sort of this like martyr, you know, loving everybody, giving, 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 and not really getting very much in return. And, you know, it took me a long time to come to that place of self-love, love myself enough to say, enough with these people. I can't be with takers anymore. I need to be with someone who gives. So, you know, people who have been givers, givers, givers their whole lives really do need to take a time out from relationships to
that
find themselves. Right, because you're a giver. I know you're a giver.
I was the giver. I was always happy. So someone said to me, this Valentine's Day, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. She goes, what do you mean nothing? You have children. You have this. I said, no, it's about me. I'm celebrating it with me, for me. And she looked at me like I was crazy.
No, because you were celebrating that this is your year of self-love. And that's why,
right,
I said, if you don't have a lover, then why not treat yourself to something? Go out to dinner, buy yourself something, go out, you know, get a massage, whatever it is you need to do,
right,
that makes you feel loved and good about yourself. And give to yourself, because it really feels good to give yourself something, to buy yourself something. And I mean, we've got a very narcissistic culture going on here. So most people are way too much buying themselves too much. But for the average person who doesn't do that, just treating yourself to a sweet day. And I'm glad you didn't feel down and out. I mean, so many of my clients who are single get so depressed on Valentine's Day. And I'm like, really, it's not a day to get depressed. It's just to celebrate love. And I love the way you brought that out, self-love. You love yourself enough to not be in a toxic relationship. You love yourself enough to not settle, And, you know, you've raised children, and sometimes it really does, when you've raised children, sometimes it really does feel good just to have a day to yourself, you know, and love yourself.
My son, my son called. My son, brought me edible arrangements and stuff like that. But he was the same way I was. We were discussing it. And I said, what are you doing today? Bobby goes, I'm staying home. I said, oh, you're like me, myself, and I. He goes, yep. He goes, and you know what, Ma? I'm enjoying it.
Right,
he goes,
exactly.
All the years I was in toxic relationships or this or forced to do something, he goes, I love it.
And you're not kidding. The worst thing is to buy a card for someone. Like, there's no card that says this relationship sucks and you suck, but I have to buy you a card. It's really awkward to buy Valentine's gifts when you're in an unhappy relationship. I remember the last few years I was married, I just hated buying that card. I just felt, after a while I would just not even look and just pick one, because I there was nothing that was going to say what I wanted to say, which is I want out of this thing. And so
that's how it is. My advice for everybody, just love yourself first. And if you can't feel safe within yourself, then you're not ready.
No, and that's exactly it. And we also have to want to be that, figure out who you are, because, when women, get married and they raise children, they put their life on hold for a really long time. Then all of a sudden, 20 years passes and you're like, who am I? Where do I stand in here? So it's really good if you've been in a long-term relationship or more than one. Now it's a good time to step aside and find out, who am I outside of a relationship? What do I like to do? Because women tend to change their personalities with every person they're with. Now I like this, now I like that. Well, figure out what you like so that the universe can bring you that kind of a person. And, the thing that I like about you, Jean, is you're always trying to resonate positively. You're always trying to, be positive, and it's so easy to get negative. It's so easy to get unhappy. And, by time Valentine's Day comes, the week before it, I get, hear so many people saying, well, I don't have love, I'm so unhappy. And I keep trying to say, well, then find somebody to love or something to love that day. If you don't have a date, why don't you, maybe your sister needs a babysitter for her kids so she can go out with her husband. Why don't you go babysit the kids and have a good time with them? Figure out, maybe you can go visit a nursing home that day. Do something to bring love to somebody who might be lonely. And
that
so
was exactly it.
Right. And that's what, I always found to do. If I'm not happy, I try to go out and reach to somebody or something who might be even worse off than I am at that moment. So I'm so glad that you learned that and that you enjoyed your day. I do expect that you should have love in your life by next year, by the way. So I don't think this is going to be your this might be the last Valentine's Day alone. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, because love is coming.
Like you said, do something. I had made about 75 preemie hats for the babies. And the weekend before, I had brought to Good Sam and Southside. I split it up and everything. And that's what makes, you have to do what makes you feel good. Don't worry about everybody else right now. It's about you.
Well, and you made a lot of little preemie babies happy, and you're going to make them happy in the future. Oh, my God. And keep their little heads nice and warm and snug. And see, but that's why I said, you just give. And it's getting out there and giving something to someone, smiling, and not thinking about what I don't have. Because people tend to think if they don't have romantic love, then they don't have love. But there's all kinds of love. There's love for your children and your friends and for your work. There's love for your work and love for, giving the way you did. So, love isn't just about romantic love.
Well,
if you
step back out of your relationships, sit back, and my place is the beach. You go sit there and you make a list of all the positive and negatives of whatever relationship, marriage you have just left or, you know, whatever. And you'll see, did you really, you were not really romantically in love. You weren't, you were in lust or you were in something else.
And you were in some sort of evolution, something you needed to learn.
Learn. And you, it was there for a reason. The person was there for a reason. I believe that. But what you have to do now is, what do you want? You have to list what, like you always say, say the prayer, you know, the saying of what kind of soulmate you want. And, you know, list what you want. And don't list what you don't want. Just list what you want.
Exactly. Because if you start saying words like, I don't want a drunk, the universe doesn't hear the word not, because negation isn't heard in the universe. They'll hear, I want a drunk. So
right.
You have to be careful not to say what I don't want. You know, so I mean, I'm always telling people, you say sober, healthy, you know, use positive words and be realistic. I mean, I have a lot of clients, and, you know, they're older, maybe they're 50 or something like that, and they say, well, you know, the guy has to have hair. And I'm like, really? There's not that many people are going to have hair at 50 or 60. You know, come on. Like, let's not, you know, if he has hair, that's a plus. But if he doesn't, like, let's give him a chance. Like, let's get outside of our type. It doesn't have to be your type. You know, it's one of the worst things people can do is staying in that type, you know, that they have, physical type particularly.
Also have to learn from inside out. You have to see a person inside before you see them outside.
Exactly.
You have to like what's inside on an everyday, whatever basis, because the outside is only a package.
Right, and that is what rises and falls, and we actually get rid of. And we don't take it with us, you know. So
right.
What we take with us to the other side is our lessons we've learned, the love we've given and received, knowledge. I mean, those are the things we take with us, lessons learned, but we don't take our physical body with us. So, you know, if people get really hung up on that, and again, you know, when you meet somebody and you think they're really great looking, and then like 2 months into the relationship, they're such mean or ugly, not nice people inside that you don't think they're good looking anymore. It's like you look and wonder, what did I see? And the same token is if someone, you know, isn't exactly your type, but you get to know them, they just seem so more attractive, and all of a sudden they look beautiful to you. So it's getting people beyond some of the superficial things. And I think analyzing, you know, the dating sites and the dating world, it's too much like I'm shopping on Amazon, okay? You know, I want him to look like this and be that. You're not shopping. You don't shop for people. If you meet people in person, you're not, you know, shopping like it doesn't have the right color eyes or this or that. I think that's what's gotten wrong with this whole dating thing. It's no, stop shopping by a picture. Like, don't just go by the picture. There might be something else about the person. Read the profile and maybe take a moment. But it's really hard if you're just going to be very superficial, then it's going to be very hard to find a higher love. I mean, and not that soulmates don't have great chemistry, because they do. They have great sexual chemistry. But chemistry is not the same as exact what a person looks like. Chemistry really comes from the soul and the heart of the person and the mind. So we're trying to always get people to realize, if you want a higher love, then, you know, you have to work on the things in yourself to make you even a person that someone would want to love.
Yep.
And I know you're always working on yourself. You know, you read a lot. You're out there in the world. You've made a lot of new friends. And, you know, you sometimes tell us about that singles group or something on Facebook.
Yeah, the two girls I brought to your lecture.
And how is her,
night.
the woman who got her heart surgery, she's good?
Oh, she's home. She had her pacemaker installed, and she's resting.
She's doing good.
Yeah.
She's doing good. Okay, good. I mean, when I saw her there that day, I just saw she was going to be fine. She was going to do well through this. She's good. And, okay, so you met them through the Facebook. What's the name of that? Because some people might want to join them.
Long Island Singles Mingle.
Okay, and it's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook, and it's 40 or older. And
okay, 40 or older, good.
All of us right now are friends. Like, they had to get together on Sunday at a pizza place in West Babylon where a couple of them brought their, like, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids because we just they just had fun. I stopped in and said,
wow.
Hello. But, you know, they'll go out on a Saturday night as just a group. And, all right, I'm going to meet here at Napertandy's in Smithtown at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Anyone want to meet us? So, in other words, if you want to go out and you don't want to go by yourself, at least there's a whole group of people. And you could go off and meet whoever. Somebody, there's many people that come up to us in places and stuff when we're all sitting around somewhere. And it's guys and girls. A couple people have met within the site, and they're still staying with it because we're all friends.
Wow. So that's
and
what it should
girl,
be. You know, it,
yeah.
I like that.
One girl, she had a house fire last week in part of a house, and everyone got together and helped her and get done. And it's not anybody. It's not, oh, I can't be seen with you. Whatever. It's whatever. Anybody, it's just a group of friends that if you find
that's
somebody
what we
fine,
always, good, and that's what we stress,
you know,
that you need to make friends.
But then also if you go out, say you're going out and you just wanted like a hug from a guy, there's like 4 or 5 guys in that group that will just give you a nice hug for 5 minutes and nothing, no strings attached, no nothing.
Wow. So I think
that's
a great idea. And that's great because usually when you go on, like, those places like the dating events, like, you know, they have, like, the single
yeah.
events, I find that the women are very competitive with each other. They're not friendly. And I'm like, you're not just going here to meet a guy. You could meet a new friend. And through that friend, you could meet a guy. So I love
yeah.
the concept that, you know, you're friends first, you know, so that this is a great thing, the singles mingles of Long Island, because you get to meet friends, not just lovers, and I think that's great. And you feel like you're part of a community. And like you said, maybe you want to go out one night, and your other friends that you go out with don't want to go. Then you can go with this group. It's great. So,
but you also
that's
don't
really
mind
interesting.
Walking in, but like the phobia a lot of single people have. You don't want to walk into a place by yourself and be there by yourself. You walk in by yourself, but you know there's a whole group of people somewhere within that place that you can hang out with for 5 or 10 minutes if you want and then go off on your own or whatever. But you know the comfortability of you're not by yourself.
Oh, that's great. So I love that. And it sounds like just what the doctor ordered for a lot of single people on Long Island. Now, I'm just going to remind anybody, if you do want to call in and ask a question, you do have to press 1. I don't have Nicole here reminding everybody of everything.
Okay, yeah, where is she?
She has tonight an event. You know, she called in about an hour before the show. She thought she could do the radio show from the event that she was at. But Lisa's a drummer. I don't know if you know that. Her wife's a drummer.
Yeah.
In Blue Movie, the her band. And so tonight they have a
right.
big concert. So I was like, no problems, no worries. But I said, I'm sure Jean will be there to help me, because, you know, okay, well, I'm going to go on talking a little bit about love. And if anything pops up about what I'm saying about love, and if anything to add, Jean, you could certainly add, because, you know, I don't really like doing the monologue on it, but,
It was very nice in the beginning tonight. I'm sitting here listening, because I have to go to my brother's, and I'm sitting here listening to it, and I'm like, I really like this. Because it's not the same drama, people calling in. When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? You know what, Cindy? You need to do it once a month, once whatever, because it makes you think.
That's what I'm saying. I figured tonight, you know, I said it was always meditate a little bit before the show. And God said, Cindy, we're going to give you the kind of show where we would really like you to talk about love tonight. And I go, oh, well, okay, I'll try. I try to talk every week. But not so much in terms of everybody's specific problem, but more in the universal that we all have. You know, love is like a universal that's truth for everybody.
Yeah.
And it is all around us, love. That's for sure.
Right.
And you have to find it where you can. Well, thank you, Jean, for joining in. But again, if there's anything you want to add later on, I'll pick you up again. So don't worry.
All right, no problem.
Bye.
Bye.
So tonight I'm doing a little bit of a different show, trying to get some concepts from Grant Me a Higher Love, which is a book I wrote in 2008. I cannot believe it has been that long since I wrote the book, and I don't think I will ever take on a venture of this magnitude again, since it is an enormous book. And I'm talking about love, and I see we have a few more listeners that just joined in. So I do have someone that just popped in that they would like to talk, so I love that. So your last four digits of your phone number are 6950, and I'm going to pick you up right now. Hi, you're live and on the air.
Hey, Cindy, what's up? It's Andrew. How you doing?
Andrew, thank you for calling in today. You're kind of saving me because Nicole's not here.
I know. I was just leaving the gym. I was like, wait, general monologue? I can talk this topic with her. I'll help her out. I'll wingman.
Oh, good, because what's happening is that we have, like, at least 400 listeners, but we don't have very many people pushing to talk. And when I'm here by myself, that means I have to do a soliloquy. And I'm always prepared to do it because, you know, I'm always ready for whatever can run this way. But Andrew's a good person to have talked to right now because, you know, earlier in the show I was talking about how Valentine's Day comes and, you know, it is a barometer of where our relationships are and where they're not. And you've had a kind of like an up and down year with love, but you've had some really good things happening, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have to call to talk about me, but I was calling to help you out. But yeah, I've definitely been lived the highs and the lows and back to the highs.
Okay, and back to the highs. And what it is with love is, you know, we talk about that love goes up and down a ladder, but the higher the love, the more likely someone could run away afraid, or that there can be difficulties, because a high love really demands healing a lot of issues, and it, you know. And healing those issues isn't easy for everybody. And what you did was be very persistent. And I think, you know, you've practiced a lot of the principles of Grant Me a Higher Love. I think you know the book better than I do, Andrew. I have to tell you. I think you could, sometimes you quote from it and I'm surprised because I don't remember it's in there. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay. But if you could, like, maybe, you know, add what you've learned in this year of love and what in the study of love, because you've been doing a really heavy study of love. Is there anything that you think you've learned?
I really stumbled on the book by accident, or as we would say, I was guided to the book from the get-go.
So how did you get guided to it, by the way? I never asked you that.
I got it through, I'm in the car, so if I lose it, just, I'm around.
That's okay,
but,
don't worry.
I originally got it through, it's Elaine, I went to a friend who I didn't know had some psychic abilities, and then, I talked to her, and she's like, oh, she happened to be a friend with, Elaine Swan, I think that's the name, if I get it right?
Yes, you got it.
And then Elaine's like, you gotta read this book, she's like, you know, you gotta do the homework. And I was like, all right. So I ordered the book, you know, and then when I got it, I didn't start it right away. And I was like, you know what? This book is, like, intimidatingly big, but I just said, you know what? This is what I want. This is what I do. And I went for it. So I started reading it, and then I think I got about two chapters in, and then I was like, I went on your website, and I found your contact information. I'm like, wow, she does a radio show. I'm like, so I reached out to you, and that was the first time I actually connected with you on the radio. And, you know, you read me without knowing any really back history. And, you know, I took that guidance from that. And then I had an in-person reading the following week or 2 weeks after. And I, you know, advanced a little further. It gave me some more information. And, I just really educated myself, and I listen to every single show that you do. I know I'm like one of the very few guys that calls in, but I actually learn a lot. I think I actually learned a lot more from actually listening to the other situations that people call in with. It's not so much about getting my own reading. So I stress to other people, just listen to other people's situations, and you'll be able to apply it to your own
life. And there's usually a message for everybody in the show. You know what I mean? There's a message that you know, an answer to something that you might have been probing with. And the universe is pretty good when I'm doing the radio show to kind of zoom in on the listeners that are here and what questions they might have, and they sort of zero in on the show. I feel very channeled and divinely guided throughout the radio show when I'm ever doing it. So it's kind of amazing, too, because sometimes there'll be a little theme that emerges that who would know that theme would come out of the show? And it
no,
does.
I mean, there's multiple instances. I mean, I've listened to, you know, Kimmy call in a couple of times and, you know, other people that call in. And, you know, I learn from their own experiences and apply it to mine. And, you know, that's how I
right,
feel like I've gotten where I've gotten.
And what I'm trying to do is let everybody know that we're not all that unique. We're all fundamentally, deep down inside, the same. And if we can see love as a universal thing and as the issues that emerge as universals, it makes it a lot easier. It's not just happening to you. It happens to other people. They have to learn the same thing. Everybody's on a journey. They're at different points in their journey and what they're going to learn and what they're not going to learn. So, you know, a lot of times I'm just trying to get people, whatever level of soul development they have, just to get to a little bit higher level and keep getting a little higher. Now, people like Jean and people like Andrew, because they're such good studiers and really, really avid listeners of the show, I've watched you both, like, emerge and grow, and, like, it's amazing for me to watch it. I'm like, they really got it. And, you know, you guys are getting it in record time. And, you know, remember, Grant Me a Higher Love was a decade long of soul searching before I wrote it, and then 4 years of writing. So it was really almost 15 years of learning and to put into that book, and plus a lifetime of however I healed. So it took me a long time to learn these lessons. And so I'm amazed when people just are learning them so fast. I'm like, wow, it's just great. And, you know, I'm just really happy for you, Andrew, because Andrew is the most loving, giving guy, and he deserves to have a higher love. And, you know, your grandfather's very excited about everything that's happening. And it's progressing along well, your love life now. You feel that way, positive, don't you?
I mean, it's like night and day. Like, everything that you said, and I listened, and that was the main thing, is I listened to everything you said, and just, like, was patient. And, you know, I've taken those lessons that I learned when I was apart from her, and I'm able to apply them now, even when I do have a tough day, you know, because I still reach out and said, oh, I had a rough day, but, like, I can get through it, I get it. And, like, I see the evolution in myself, too. So, I mean, I can't stress enough to the listeners, like, if you listen and you do the homework and you really, like, think of what you're doing and when you do it, you know, you really will get everything you want if you just.
And exactly. You have to, like, when you're getting guidance or you're getting a reading or you're getting advice, it's not just coming from me, although the universe definitely uses my intelligence, my knowledge, okay? There's no doubt about it. They work with me. But when I'm telling people when to go slow or when to go fast, when to jump and when to walk and when to skip, you got to listen. You can't, you know, not listen to the guidance that you're given and then be surprised that nothing has changed for the better. You know, listen to the guidance. Follow the steps. I always told you when to back off, and I told you when to jump forward.
Yep.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I told you, and you're saying, well, I'm not sure if it's right yet. I go, it's right. It's the right time now. So it's like, if you're being guided from above, and believe me, God wants nothing more than soulmates to be together and to maintain it. So if you're asking for guidance on a higher love, the universe is, like, so accurate. I mean, so accurate, it's, like, astounds me. And, you know, so the people who have listened to their guidance, they have great love affairs, and they maintain it, and I'm really happy with it. So I just think I'm so glad you called in tonight, because I was thinking about you today earlier and loved your email that Valentine's Day was a good day for you. And that's what it was super. It wasn't even good. It was super. I love it. It was awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to share a little information with you that you're on the air. You know, I don't know if you know, but I'm also a playwright, and I wrote a play, Beethoven's Prometheus Concerto, and it's a one man play basically about Beethoven, and it's going to be produced this summer, kind of a stage reading production in Lindenhurst, and I'm very excited about it. And Beethoven's been haunting me that it was finished in 2004. And he channeled a lot through it, and it's a lot about his immortal beloved and how all those years she hurt him and how they never got together and all the music he created from that lack of, you know, from missing her and loving her so much. And I sort of just put it in a drawer because, you know, when I wrote it, it was way above anything that I could really, you know, even imagine putting on, because it's, you know, it's all about his music. And when it was read by some people who were conductors of orchestras, they just said, "We've never seen anybody understand Beethoven and his music like you. Are you a musicologist? You have a doctorate in music." I have none of this. I said, I did 4 years of research, and then he channeled through him. Which, so I just find it fascinating that he's been haunting me so much to get it done, and now everything's falling into place. But it is a story, a love story, and a story about, you know, twin flames, which we sometimes talk about, twin flames that never actually got to be together for a very long period of time. So I'm very excited it's going to be done. So that's my news. You know,
good,
so
good.
It's one of the things that, you know, it's like all I need right now is more work, but that's what's happening, a little more work here. But,
a little more work, doesn't hurt.
And everything, and it's funny because there were obstacles to producing this, and yet they've all just, in the last few days, things have just been falling so into place, it's like kind of scary, you know?
Right.
Like how, okay, it's the right moment and the right time. So 12 years later or 13 years later, it's finally going to see its day in the sun. So I'm very excited about that. Well, I do have one other caller who does want to speak. So, Andrew, I'm going to let you drive home and drive safely.
That's fine.
I hope you're on a Bluetooth. Are you on a Bluetooth?
I am.
Okay, because I'm like, Mommy. I'm like, Mommy, Andrew, are you driving carefully?
I appreciate it. Well, hey, I just want to help you and make you not have to do a monologue. So I was like, let me just buzz in for her. And, like,
oh, thank you so
seconds.
Much, because I was starting to die here on stage.
All right,
it's not supposed to be Hamlet's soliloquy.
Yeah.
Well,
all right,
thank you, Andrew.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye now.
Okay, so we do have another listener who finally got brave enough to press 1. Your last 3-4 digits of your phone number are 2301. So, hi, you're live and on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, for sure. I was dying over here. So, who is this? God is very good. Just when I'm...
yeah. My name is Julia.
And who is this?
Julia.
Julia, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Central Florida.
Wow. Okay. So you must have something on your mind that you need guidance for, so why don't you just tell our listeners what it is, and I'll try to help you as best I can.
Love. Higher love.
Okay, love.
Soulmate,
I love it.
Twin flame. Ooh la la.
Okay, so it's funny because I wasn't going to mention the Beethoven already at all tonight, and then all of a sudden I got this feeling that the next caller that I'm going to talk to is going to know what a twin flame is. A lot of people have no clue what twin flames are or what they're not, and I mostly wouldn't wish a twin flame on my worst enemy at this stage of human consciousness, by the way, because twin flames are like usually meet in their last incarnations. And it's like Beethoven. It's a very highly evolved soul, and they usually have something to create for humanity. And Beethoven was able to create his music for Josephine, who is his immortal beloved, although there are many people who think it's someone else. But 4 years of critical understanding of his music and following, I felt it was this woman, Josephine. And it was because she could not commit to him or, you know, be with him, that he created the music, a lot of it, because he was so longing for her love. So his twin flame was brought to help create music for humanity, but it was not necessarily a barrel of fun for Beethoven. Okay, so, you know, usually it's brought for humanity. Now, we have many soulmates, and we're probably better off with a soulmate that's pretty healed and wanting to commit, and that's a great love affair, you know, rather than something great for humanity. But what I see for you is just the fact that you're saying you want a soulmate, you're putting out that prayer to the world. And how long, it sounds like you're in a confessional, but how long has it been since your last relationship?
I filed for divorce September 2014. And I feel like I've used the time since the divorce and the process to heal and to, you know, to release that and, you know, come to peace with it. So I'm
love what you're saying, because when you weren't even listening, I don't think, in toward the beginning of the show, when Jean was saying that we have to have self-love and we have to, you know, kind of stand on our own 2 feet and find out who we are before we can find a great love. And, you know, women tend to, you know, have a really hard time being out of a relationship because we've been so brainwashed that we need a man. That I'm so glad you did stand on your own 2 feet for a little bit. I think you had some hard lessons to learn from the man you married. And I think you've learned them. Did you learn you can't fix people? Because he really needed a lot of fixing. So is Julia done being a fixer?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, I'm always citing that Jesus was crucified, and three times he stated he was going to be crucified. There's a lot of people that won't be fixed, and those people that won't be fixed in this lifetime are the ones who couldn't wait to crucify that man. So we're here. If he couldn't fix the overwhelming majority of people, and he's an ascended master who learned all his life lessons, it's a little bit presumptuous of us to think we're going to fix people. So I'm glad you got the need to fix people out of your system, and I think you're a better judge of character now. And what I'm seeing is a really nice man coming here, by the way. He's had to learn the same life lesson you did, and that's why I'm bringing up your lessons. It looks like he's fallen in the past for the princess that became the beast, like he had no idea what he signed on for. And so, you know, it's like you fell for the prince that became the beast. You had to learn people aren't always who we think they are. But he's a genuinely good human being. Like, you're a genuinely good human being. So two genuinely good human beings brought together, love is really quite simple. It's not a lot of drama and trauma. It's you know, it's good. He looks like he, you know, he has money. He's not somebody who needs your money. And, you know, you're not going to be mommy to a boy with this guy, okay? You don't want to be that. You don't want any more of that, do you?
Nope.
Okay. You want a man who's your equal, correct? I'm like the way you're laughing, because we all know what it is when we have a relationship where we're mommy to a boy, because that's worse than when we're with a man who's like our master and beats us, because we might rebel faster against a man who beats us than against a man that becomes like a child to us, and that can keep us really stuck. So, you know, he's a man who works hard, very loving. Do you do anything to find anybody? You know, do you meet new friends? Do you get out there at all?
You know, I haven't been getting out there because I'm wanting to relocate, and I'm kind of thinking that, you know, once I get to wherever it is that this move is going to take me, that I'll, like, connect with him there. So I haven't been really...
Okay, and where do you plan on moving to?
I'm thinking maybe the Gulf Coast side of Florida, over on the western side by the Gulf of Mexico.
Nice.
I like the idea of being closer to the water, so...
peaceful
tranquility. So yeah.
Mhm. And we live on Long Island here, and they're wondering why there's so many psychics on Long Island. And I think it's because we're so surrounded by water, and it's a very good conductor of all kinds of energy. But I can see that would be a good move. It also looks like, are you going to get a different job or something when you're there? Because it looks like there's a lot of different moves going on here. Okay, because I see a really nice job here, because I got the Ace of Pentacles when you said moving, which you will get a good job. And you could even perhaps meet this man through this new job, because I know you're a very old soul, and older souls are very hardworking people. And a lot of times God just has to bring us love when we're working, because we're always working. So it looks like you would meet him through that, either through some people from that. I'd like to see the move in all this sooner than later. When is your birthday? You don't have to tell me the year, just say like the month and the day.
September 16th.
Okay. Are you planning on moving sometime in towards September or toward the fall?
Actually, it's kind of like whenever I can find a place that's in my budget, you know, as far as finding a place to live in the area that I'm considering, but it's like things haven't really gelled with it, so that's why I'm still kind of up in the air.
Okay,
like, what
am
I doing?
Okay, I like the way you say it's not gelled. Okay. What happens is if we're not 1,000% clear that we really want to move, if we have like a little bit of like second guessing, insecurity, the universe tends to not get us a place or, you know, find us a place to go to or to move it forward. It's like when I was telling about the Beethoven play, it's like I hemmed and horned about it for so long because it's a lot involved and I almost didn't want to do it. And then once the decision was made to do it, all these obstacles that I thought were so big, like, are just not big. So I think it's being clear. You're not, you have to be 1,000% clear you're ready to move. Are you like 1,000% clear you're ready to move?
It's like I want to be, but I have some residual fear of, oh my gosh, can I do this? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like I've got to stop letting my head talk me out of it.
Right. The residual fear is what the universe hears. Okay. And older souls don't like change. They like the devil they know. And it's very hard for them to make a move, change a job. They have to weigh out like 1,000 pluses to the minuses. And, okay, there's more pluses than minuses. And they have to think about that for 2 more years. And then they sometimes God has to kick us in the ass. Sometimes, you know, so God will sometimes get us laid off. I mean, God will say, that's enough already. You've been farting around with this for 5 years. I'm just kicking your ass forward and you'll go. So it's what I'm seeing, the only thing that's holding you back is your fear. Like if you would say to God, okay, I really think this is where I need to go, I want to go, so I trust, I'm turning this over to you. And you might be surprised how you find that place and that job pretty quickly. Because the universe does want you to move forward and change your life. And of course it's scary. It's scary to move. It's always scary. But you're not really happy where you're living right now. And you're not really happy with your job. You're kind of settling right now. And I don't think you divorced, you know, to go to settle for life. I mean, if you want to settle, you might as well stay married. Like, what the hell?
Right,
So if you start shaking up your life, you got to really shake it up. So I'm seeing you could find a nice place to live. You would like it there. Has your father passed away, by the way?
You know, I never knew my biological father.
Okay, that's, that, you know, because there's, I didn't think so because
so I don't
there's,
know.
Okay, because it looks like it probably was your biological father, but I wasn't getting the sense that you knew him that well. You know, I will tell you this, the kindest act of love this man ever did was leave you alone. I hope you know that. I mean, he wasn't the world's easiest man. I don't know how much you know about the him. And
I think he was one of those players, as they call him now, a womanizer.
He was a player, a womanizer.
Exactly.
And least he left you alone and didn't stick around and hurt you. And it was a great act of love, according to him, that he wasn't in your life. But, you know, at this point, you know, you have had a lot more courage when you were younger than you have now. And you might want to muster up some of that courage because it just takes, we all have fear. We all have fear, okay? I mean, that comes with, but those of us who get a life that we want have courage. And so, you know, you were guided tonight to call in because what I see here is there's a job and a place to live, like right circling right here. So the universe almost wanted you to hear me say, look, you know, jump at it. And when it comes to you, you know, you always know when you're divinely guided because it's exactly the place that you wanted. Like, it's like, wow, this has like a lot of, I mean, when I got divorced, I said to God, I want a place that's, you know, has, you know, that, you know, has air conditioning and a fairly nice big apartment and a dishwasher. And I said things like, as a joke, maybe a little walk through the woods in a lake. That was a joke. Okay. I lived, all of a sudden the next day I found this exact place and I said how much money I wanted to be. And it was perfect. And then I'm living there about 3 months and I go for a walk and I realize it has a lake and a woods. So everything was there that I asked for. It took me 3 months to know that. But the point was, you know, write down what your ideal place to live would be like and watch it manifest. And, you know, I would hope that you will call in again in the near future and let us know if anything's manifested because it looks to me like it's right here, right there for you. So I'm glad you called in tonight.
Thank
well, anyway,
you.
We're at
Me
the
too.
End of our show, and I know that Blog Talk will cut me off in about 30 seconds. And so I want to say thank you for calling in and thank you for saving
thank
me,
you.
Those people that pressed one. And Julia, please call in again. And good luck to everybody, and we'll speak next week. Bye for
thanks
now.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.